You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, folks, to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander still in tow as we kick off hour number two of three. Eddie the Bombardier Miller on deck for later this broadcast. That song right there, Good King Wenceslas, a kingly and majestic English hymn from the 19th century. Listen to that song, folks. It'll be featured on our blog tomorrow at thepoliticalcesspool.org. That song, that kind of music, really is just one of the many, many reasons you should fight to preserve and protect our precious cultural heritage. Nobody could have made music like that except for our people, and certainly it resonates with me. Edwards, obviously, is an English surname, although it could be Welsh as well. You know, my ancestors apparently wanted to unite the clans, if you will, and that's clan with a C, not a K, for anybody listening from the ADL tonight. But obviously, I have English roots on my father's side, and my mother's maiden name was McGregor. So however it came in, the convergence of all of that Northwest European blood, it really worked out favorably, I guess, because if I get any better looking, that's just something's going to have to happen. We're going to have to do something about that, but I love it. Keith, it's our kind of music. That is a beautiful, beautiful Christmas song. Listen to it tomorrow at thepoliticalcesspool.org. You know, listening to that just then, Keith, I want to sing a song like that with gusto, you know. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen. You have some English roots too in you, don't you, Keith?
My mother was a war bride. My father was in Patton's army, married her, and brought her back to the United States. My father is typical Southern Scots-Irish stock, so I'm a blend of Scots-Irish and English.
There you go.
Okay, and also, Good King Wenceslas, that hymn, is much older than the 19th century. That arrangement may be from the 19th century, but I think King Wenceslas was back probably around the time of Alfred the Great, or even before. And the hymn has been around, I think, since the 12th or 13th century, James.
Well, maybe you're right. Obviously, the king himself was from a time far more distant than the 19th century. But nevertheless, it's great stuff. It's great music. It's Christmas time. You want to try your hand at it, Keith? You know, actually, Keith, I heard, if I'm not mistaken, you have written your own rap song. Is that something you'd maybe... let's see if we can get Keith to sing for your donations tonight. We are in the middle of a fundraising drive. We take our work seriously, but we're not too proud to avoid embarrassing ourselves for a good cause. So I don't know, but Keith was inspired. You know, we're talking about Maury. We're talking about, you know, music like this and how inspirational it is. How can we segue it into the inspiration you drew from the Maury Povich show recently? Keith, you want to? You don't have to, but share with the audience what you're willing to.
I was talking with one of our fans and a constant contributor to our efforts, who is a musician. And we started talking. I was on the road last week and had some time and got on the phone with him. And before I'd left home that day, unfortunately, I caught a glimpse of the Maury Povich show. Of course, Maury is a good son of Israel, and he loves making fun of the witless goyim And that's what the feature of his program is, showing how low class black and white Gentiles are regarding their mating habits. So basically, the constant theme of that program is, who is the baby's daddy? And they get some hapless male coming in there, and he's being accused. And quite often, particularly if the man is black and the woman is black, it's a false alarm. The guy is not the father according to DNA tests. So I was watching this for a few minutes with my jaw gripping, and I said, you know, I've got the perfect rap song for this. And here's how it goes. We know who the mama is, but who is the daddy is? Could be Jerry, could be Joe, could be Curly, Larry, Moe. Who it is, we don't know. And I had several other verses to it. But anyway, we were having fun with that, and I told this guy, I said, you need to, you know, expand on that and see if you can make a hit out of that. You know, that will be right, that's perfectly in line. In fact, that may be a little bit too non-risque for today.
Keith, I'm actually a little bit surprised you did that. Hey, you know, but you got to have a laugh from time to time. That was a unheralded highlight that was unexpected. But that's the Maury Povich show. I mean, you're watching Maury can even send an intellectual heavyweight like Keith into the ditches. But I mean, you know, I've watched that too. Every show he has, it's supposed to be a daytime talk show, but every show Maury has is just an hour-long parade of paternity tests, and you'll see these, they're almost always obese black women, and they'll come back on the show 19 different times. I saw one that it was the 19th prospective father in there to get his DNA test. So that means that this woman had to have sex with 19 different males within a single cycle of her menstrual cycle. So, and that is not outrageous for Maury Povich, but that's his show. I'm really surprised they let him get away with it. I mean, obviously it's a mockery of these people in that culture, and it's pretty much every show. So Keith got it, and you see the results.
Yep, I tell you what, it is a sad testament about the effect of liberalism on American culture. Back in 1950, 1.5% of the white population of white births were illegitimate. Only 22% of black births were illegitimate. In today's world, over 25% of white births are illegitimate. We have now outstripped the blacks of 1950. And black illegitimacy is 72% and climbing. In other words, almost 3 out of 4 black children that are born to single parents, to a single mother. This is the craziest business ever, and this is the reason why, despite all of this liberalism, things keep getting worse. Illegitimate birth is the foundation of poverty, and the left, of course, has decreed that nobody can criticize this. There can never be heard a discouraging word about black people or their habits, or about, for example, having children out of wedlock. That has been totally decriminalized. It has been totally there's nothing that you can say negative about it without labeling yourself a bigot or a racist.
We're going to take a break and take a phone call when we come back here on the Political Cesspool Radio program.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah, buying them another sweater, game, or other holiday gift they didn't need was nice. But this season, why not take the easy road, the safer road, and the smarter road? Get those you love something they do need. Give the gift of preparedness with Freeze-Dry Guy gift cards. Since 1970, the veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy has been your trusted source for emergency preparedness with easy-to-make, delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. These long-lasting foods are lifesavers, which come with added comfort, confidence, and convenience, perfect for any power outage, natural disaster, political crisis, or emergency at home, such as job loss or illness. Call Freeze-Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. You can't predict what's going to happen to your loved ones, but when it does, you can have them ready with gift cards from freezedryguy.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Ooh, Merry Christmas, Christmas comes this time each year. Ooh, well, way up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told. And a real famous cat all dressed up in red, and he spends the whole year working out in his sled. It's the little Saint Nick.
All right, all this good music tonight. There's the Beach Boys and the classic Little Saint Nick, and then there's Keith's rap. I mean, you know, Keith obviously has a few things to learn. You can't do a rap song without lacing it in profanity and having a liberal sprinkling of the N-word put in there. Of course, Keith isn't the right color to get away with saying the N-word, but nevertheless... it lit up the phone lines, though. We'll see if they're calling in about that or something else, but we got a couple of callers waiting. Joe in Pennsylvania up first. Joe, what can we do for you tonight?
Hey, James and Keith, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Joe.
Thank you, brothers. Listen, I did a quick search on the internet. I wasn't able to bring up much. You were talking about Nelson Mandela earlier. And it seems that the acorn, or the grand acorn, as in this case, doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
If you look for Nelson Mandela's grandson faces assault charges in Johannesburg.
The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, as they say, right?
Yeah, the guy's name is Mandela. And he's
Manhandler.
So he evidently, you know, committed all kinds of stuff. Your listeners might want to look up ndtv.com. It seems to be kind of an Indian website from India. And then there's another one. Here I'm looking. South African interpreter says he never murdered or raped anyone. This guy was evidently in the employ of the Mandelas, and he was charged with allegations of rape and murder.
It's mere peccadilloes, really, I'm sure.
Out there. I could read this whole thing, but it's superfluous. USA Today talks about that. So,
well, you know, it's like kicking over a log in the forest. When you look into the backgrounds of these so-called civil rights heroes, you never know what type of creatures are going to slither out.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, most of these people have feet of clay, and their descendants are no better than they ought to be.
Yeah, and by the way, both of these men are very, very black.
Yeah, and no fooling.
I thought I'd
okay.
just throw that in for a minute. you guys have a good one, man. My battery's running low here, so I'm going to let you go.
Well, thank you so much, Joe, and you have a Merry Christmas. By the way, you weren't the Joe I was singing about in my rap song, okay?
Keith, we're trying to move from that. But seriously, no, that was, you know, he mentioned the interpreter. This was a different, corrupt interpreter. They had the a sign language interpreter that's caused a little bit of a stink there, who was rubbing shoulders with Obama and all of the other speakers who ascended to the podium to wax nostalgic about Mandela. And they said he was just up there flailing his arms about at random. It wasn't any sort of interpretation of sign language. They said it was the equivalent to a singer doing scatting, you know, where a singer just starts scatting. And but, you know, that was completely... Well, they were all ogling that Danish prime minister, I believe. But, you know, it was a perfect interpreter, for Mandela's funeral. A fraud, just like the man himself. So, anyway, we got Matt on the line. Matt, how are you?
Good evening, Cesspool family. How you doing, James and Mr. Alexander?
We're doing great, Matt. Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas to you, sir, and James. It's Matt the Copperhead calling from the snowy but not too white Brooklyn right at the moment. that interpreter business was a very insightful insight of the sorry state of affairs of the country of South Africa, that the state government preferred to have charlatan on the world stage.
Well, Matt, I think it was probably an affirmative action sign language interpreter, another affirmative action hire gone awry.
Yes, sir. The Black Economic Empowerment.
Right, yeah. BEE program over there in action for all to see.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, over here in Brooklyn, there's several white South Africans of English stock and Boer stock, and I happen to know a few of them. And I was talking with them the other day, and one of them happens to work in a hospital here, a prominent hospital, and one of her skill sets is sign language. So it's very interesting. Interesting stuff, indeed.
Well, we know under the BEE program, she'll never be hired.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's why she's here in New York, opposed to her homeland.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought this up. You know, with all the talk about refugee problems and bringing refugees to the United States, the one group of refugees that is really deserving of getting refugee status but will never get refugee status over here are white South Africans. They are the most persecuted people. Even liberal groups like Genocide Watch and Amnesty International admit that they are white South Africans, particularly Afrikaners, are the targets of genocide, pure and simple. But the silence is deafening about any Western nation, including the United States, doing anything to help these poor victims in South Africa.
Yes, sir. You're also right with that. I encourage them to come over here. Walk over if they have to, over the southern border.
Get in somehow and then, you know, defy them to do anything about it, just like all of these Latin American immigrants that we get.
As they say in Afrikaans. Ja, ons kan. Yes, we can. Well, guys, God bless you, and thank you so much for the work you guys do.
God bless you, Matt, and thank you for your support. And to Joe and everyone else, you know, I love the audience. I love hearing from them, Keith. I love the Merry Christmas salutation and the God bless you that they put in there because, you know, these are our people, and that's the kind of people we are. And it's so incredible that a show who's charged with the task of covering such heinous content can be so jovial that there can be laughs. There can be moments of gosh. I really love doing this show, folks. I do. I love y'all out there. It's a fun show to do. We have fun here. I don't know if that's bad to say, that we have fun, that we enjoy our work. We love the relationship that we have with the audience and certainly with each other. You know, and if ever you thank the heavens, you thank God for the political cesspool, thank him also for Sam Bushman, because, you know, without Sam, we would not be here without this network. We would not have a home. You would not be able to hear us. Yeah, look, we're all in this together. It's an eternal struggle, but it's a glorious struggle to be able to do one's duty, especially in the face of overwhelming odds. We may not win, or we may win, and it just not be something, the victory may not be something we see in our lifetime. But we have the heart for the battle. Well said. We have the heart for the battle. Sam Bushman said it, not me. I got to give credit where credit's due on that. We do. And you embolden that heart, folks, with your support, your phone calls, your letters, your emails, your prayers. We're going to take a break. I got to take a break after all that. I almost got a little emotional there. Hey, we'll be right back, and the party will continue. The battle will, too. Stay tuned.
Listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening in the lane? Snow is glistening, a beautiful sight. We're happy tonight,
walking in a winter wonderland.
Well, folks, as Keith Alexander is wont to do, he has brought in a couple of pages from the local fish wrap. This would be the commercial appeal, Wednesday, December 11th edition, in the B section, or the business section. That would actually be section C. Staffing new factories poses challenge. They're having a hard time, Electrolux and Mitsubishi is, finding qualified workers here in the Memphis area. This is what the story reads. Two new Memphis plants have not yet hired half the people they plan to, but officials cautioned Tuesday that the pool of qualified Memphians may soon run dry. The biggest challenge has been finding qualified talent to meet our hiring plan and keep on pace with our hiring plan as we go forward, said Lisa D. Terry, Human Resources Director for the Mitsubishi Electric Transformer Plant, told a real estate conference hosted by Urban Land Institute Memphis. The $200 million plant in the Rivergate Industrial Park has hired 115 folks so far, with the goal to employ 300 within the next 2 or 3 years. We just don't have enough people in the market that have the skill sets, said Electrolux Human Resource Director Leanne Burko. Keith, I know we're going to be beginning to run short on time. That's the gist of the article. Why don't you share with the audience why it may be that they cannot find qualified laborers here in Memphis?
Well, of course, it's that 800-pound gorilla in the living room sitting on the couch munching on Cheetos called race. The gorilla that no one wants to acknowledge, no one wants to talk about. Memphis is 65% black, and we have a black government. We have black community leaders, and the white elites in town are furiously trying to educate black youngsters so they can be minimally qualified to displace white youngsters. And, of course, the end result will be the new Detroit, formerly called Memphis. And this is what happens. They are giving away what they call pilots, payment in lieu of taxes. They are letting companies move into town paying no property tax whatsoever, getting all sorts of government grants from local government because they are desperate to get manufacturing jobs here that will allow black people who don't graduate high school or have very limited educational resources or intelligence to make $20 plus an hour plus benefits. They're desperate for those jobs. But when they get the companies here, the companies, being good liberal, headed by good liberals themselves, are shocked to find that the local workforce just isn't up to par and can't operate robotics, doesn't have the intelligence or the mechanical aptitude to do what is necessary to run the type of modern manufacturing plant that they had run so successfully, for example, with Electrolux, up in Quebec in Canada, where, lo and behold, what a surprise, there are hardly any black people up there. They had a predominantly white workforce that apparently was up to the mark in Memphis, where we have affirmative action for black candidates, and we have 65% black population to begin with, they're having trouble even staffing their plant with qualified workers. Now, that's not a surprise to people that listen to the political cesspool, but to the elites, this is a lesson they just refuse to learn. So the next day in the newspaper, the very next day after running this program, this article, there was a kind of de facto retraction or clarification run in another article in the business section. James, read that one for us.
The day after the article we just read, this one, as Keith mentioned, was published. Let's not beat ourselves up about the capability of Memphians. Sure, there's a shortage of skilled workers here. Electrolux executive Leon Burko aired the problem Tuesday at the Urban Land Institute Memphis conference. We just don't have enough people in the market that have the skill sets, she told the gathering. No doubt the Mid-South has too few skilled industrial workers, but it's not because we're lazy or poorly educated. The shortage exists in almost every city in the United States. It's a national problem, said Patricia Lee, marketing director for the Fabricators and Manufacturers Association, a 2,500-member trade group in Rockford, Illinois. The fact that there have been 600,000 manufacturing jobs that have gone unfilled in recent years, that's a national number.
Well, you know, they may be right. That may be a problem endemic to American cities generally, but guess what? Who congregates, who flocks to American cities? You got it, non-whites. Non-whites are the problem, folks. Wake up and smell the coffee. Get used to it. That's the problem. You know, I used to work for a firm that was busily trying to get foreign companies' manufacturing facilities into their state. We incorporated two cotton patches so that they could float bond issues of tax-free municipal bonds to help get these companies in. And I remember being out there. We interviewed a Volkswagen plant. We interviewed a Nissan plant. We interviewed a Saturn plant, a proposed thing. And they all decided to go somewhere other than the Memphis area. And the areas they went to, what a coincidence, were always areas that had a much higher percentage of white people than the Memphis area. These people didn't want to buy into the troubles of a running guerrilla war with the EEOC, the local Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, who wants to basically tell them who they can hire, who they can promote, who they can't fire, and who they can't demote. And furthermore, they didn't want to run into the same problems that Electrolux and Mitsubishi ran into with unqualified and unskilled workforce. So if you'll notice, the Japanese in particular seem to be very savvy about this. They built a Toyota plant in Mississippi, but you know where they built it? Blue Springs, Mississippi, up in the northeast corner of Mississippi, the widest part of Mississippi, a part of Mississippi that has probably about 10% black population, where the public schools, surprisingly, are still wonderful. Not like the Delta. They're not about to put one of these plants in the Delta because they'll run into the same problem that Mitsubishi and Electrolux have run into. I bet they at Electrolux and Mitsubishi are rueing the day that their liberalism got the best of them and caused them to move here and inherit all of these problems. James, it serves them right, though.
There's also in that newspaper article another story about the skylines of Memphis and Nashville, respectively. And if anyone's ever gone to Nashville, Tennessee, Nashville is a beautiful metropolitan city.
Only 24% black.
76% white is the demographics. We'll go with that. 24% black. And it talks, too, about how Memphis is losing businesses, jobs, and population to Nashville. And one of the things is a result, one of the reasons rather, is the result of taxes. The tax rate of Memphis is through the roof. And of course, that's attributable to the government here, who is almost exclusively black. And like any good Democrats, I guess, the solution must be to raise taxes.
Well, what they don't tell you is that when you have a black population, the larger black population you have, you run into this preference that black people have for public sector employment. They all want government jobs for three reasons. One, they get Cadillac health care. They can ravage their bodies with everything from STDs to fried chicken, and they get great health care coverage. Two, they get defined benefit pensions in the government or public sector. Unlike private sector pensions, which tend to be defined contribution or 401k plans that get decimated in the Jewish-run stock market, in a place like Memphis, they want those public sector jobs, and then they also can't be fired because of civil service or quasi-civil service protection for insubordination or incompetence. So there's tremendous pressure in a majority black city to have an ever-expanding pool of public sector jobs. public sector jobs are not part of private enterprise. They depend directly on getting tax revenues to be able to be created. And furthermore, these people all want these extravagant pensions that are going to be payable even if World War III breaks out next month. You know, they'll be getting the same check every week because they have defined benefit pensions in the government. You don't find that in the public private sector anymore, but you do in the public sector. This is a constant pressure on the government to raise taxes. And these black politicians certainly want to please their constituents, so they find one way or another, backdoor ways, front door ways, overhead, sideways, whatever, to bring in more revenue. And guess what? Companies don't like this. People don't like this. And as a result, people flee. They go one further exit down the expressway, or they move all the way to Nashville seeking green pastures. This is how Memphis and other cities like it will become Detroit. Mark my words, hide and watch. James, back to you.
And we'll be back right after this. Stay tuned, everybody.
Back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Hello, dear friends. It's James Edwards again, and I'd like to extend to you warm Christmas greetings from the Political Cesspool's hosting staff and production crew. We're currently riding a wave of momentum that suggests to me that our radio program is poised to make a major breakthrough in the coming weeks, but it won't happen without your financial considerations, which enable us to meet the rising cost of production. Our critical fourth quarter fundraising drive is now officially underway, and we must have our audience's response. Without you, our work can't survive, which is why I humbly ask that you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org today and make a game-changing contribution that will enable us to sustain the forward momentum. Those who donate $100 or more will receive an exciting Christmas gift from me. Thank you for keeping us in mind during this beautiful season of faith and family. Our listeners are part of our family, and I cannot overstate how vitally important you are to us. We love you. Merry Christmas, everyone, and thanks again for your support.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I don't want a life for for Christmas. There's just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you.
Song for the Political Cesspool hosting staff draw audience this evening. Welcome back to the show. All right, I got a story here that just had me grinning from ear to ear, because if anyone deserved this kind of ridiculous treatment, it is the Republican Party and the leadership of the GOP in general, or specifically rather. The GOP was accused of racism this week by the establishment media. They were accused of being racist. Now, what did the Republican Party do, or what did they write, I should say, on their official website that had them being subjected to the attacks and accusation of racism? What they did was they praised Rosa Parks for her role in ending racism. Yes, you heard me right. The GOP was charged with accusations of racism this week for suggesting that Rosa Parks helped to end racism. Now, when they praised Rosa Parks for her role in ending racism, did they do it? Did it help them rather win black votes? Absolutely not. The GOP was immediately savaged by the media for even suggesting that racism had ended, and the reaction, of course, serves them right. But they aren't interested in learning. This is a game, but they don't want to win the game. They just want us to be pawns in it. The reason they were attacked was because, of course, as long as white people are still alive, racism will never end. And so the GOP was attacked for suggesting merely that racism had ended. And interestingly, we here at the Political Cesspool have previously conducted an absolutely incredible interview with Officer Drew Lackey, the former chief of police in Montgomery, Alabama. Lackey was pictured in the now iconic photograph as the officer who fingerprinted Rosa Parks on the night she was arrested during the December 2nd, 1955 Montgomery bus stunt. Of course, she was not the first communist operative to be cast in the role of the poor little old seamstress who was sick and tired of being sick and tired. They had another black woman before that, but they figured out she had a criminal record, so they didn't want her to be the one to be arrested because it would damage the image they were trying to create for themselves. And so they booted her from the role and cast Parks, and Parks played the role to perfection. It was all a setup. And they, of course, took that torch and ran with it to perfection with the aid of course, the federal government and the media in general. Outside of the South. Well, this guy, Officer Drew Lackey, again, the one who fingerprinted Rosa Parks the night she was booked for the, the arrest there on the bus, he was on our show to promote his book, Another View of the Civil Rights Movement. It was really a historic interview that we conducted, and just like the Nelson Mandela coverage, we are the only program in the country that offers you a different take on it. Well, so too are we the only program and the only network in the country that will dare cast a shadow of doubt on the saintly civil rights movement. And we did it with a firsthand source, Officer Lackey. And he came on and he told us about his personal and intimate dealings with Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King and what he thought about that whole era. And it's certainly a different story than the likes you will find this week. Of course, the anniversary, it was actually a couple of weeks ago now, December 2nd, the anniversary of the Montgomery bus stop arrest. on Martin Luther King Day and any of that other stuff, visit our broadcast archives and select a program dated July 13th, 2008, and you will hear another view of the Civil Rights Movement with our guest, Officer Drew Lackey. But anyway, getting back to the story at hand this week, certainly serves the Republican Party right to be embarrassed in this way. They're an embarrassment to their constituents, to the white middle class who vote for them year after year after year. The Republican Party has never won anything. They have never turned the tide on any important issue. At very best, they might stall their counterparts in the Democratic Party, who are, of course, part of the same team. They'll stall them for a couple of years. They'll blow some hot air, some hot rhetoric, and then they will lay down the fight, and the Democrats win. And then, of course, the Republicans' mantra is reelect us so we can try to change this. They don't ever change anything. And so I'm happy to see them savaged. At the end of the day, this is what's so ironic, though. At the end of the day, the reputation of the Republican Party with your rank-and-file black voters is no better or no worse than ours. In fact, truth be known, at least we're sincere in our beliefs, and at least we try to root those beliefs in fact. And at least we tell the truth as we see it. And it's certainly heartfelt. We have hatred for no one. We certainly wish, as we always say, for equal rights for all and special privileges for none. But the way we see it, and certainly the way I see it, is that the white working class is the most victimized and villainized group of people in America today. They have no representation in politics. And outside of this network, they have no voice in the media. That is the dispossessed majority. We are the ones who truly need help, and we try to offer it to the extent that we can. But anyway, I'm glad to see the Republican Party suffering this indignity this week. But for being racist, being called racist for praising Rosa Parks for her role in ending racism, folks, that's a story straight out of the pages of Racism Schmacism. If I ever do an updated version, 2.0, this is going to be a story that we put in it, because that is what the book is all about, the crazy, false, silly accusations that white people are subjected to, even white enemies like the Republican Party. And I'll tell you what, I have much more respect for Rosa Parks than I do John Boehner or some of these other Republican charlatans. At least Rosa knew what she was. She was a communist operative who wanted to see the power structure in America turned on its head. And she did what she believed in, and she was sincere in that belief. That's a hell of a lot more honorable than the Republican Party. And I mean that. So, you know, if I have disdain for anyone, I won't even say I hate the Republican Party, because I really don't hate anybody. I'm just a happy person. But if I did, it would be Republicans elites, the Bushes, people like that, much more than these folks. Eddie the Bombardier Miller arriving late, but he has arrived nevertheless. He has had to circle around. You know, the weather not so good in Memphis. It's a little cloudy. He had to park that big bomber. We're going to get to Eddie, and he's going to be with us for the entire third hour. But let's go ahead and, I guess, Eddie, get through the opening banter that we would normally do at the top of the first segment of the third hour, and let you say hello. And then when we come back, we've got a lot of stories we want to cover that I think were tailor-made for you. So, but first, it's been a couple of weeks since you've been on the air. Tell everybody hello and tell us what you've been up to.
Well, hello everybody out there. I know I have a lot of friends out there, hear from you all the time, and it's great to be back. Great to be with James, Sam, Keith, and the whole crew. Didn't get to run the marathon last week, folks. We had some really hellish weather here in Memphis. We had an ice storm, the mother of all ice storms. The St. Jude people shut the thing down, and you know, everybody's telling me that there was no way they'd shut it down. But we had live electrical wires in the streets, limbs falling out of the trees. And our route goes right through this place called Overton Park here in Memphis. The trees everywhere. But we didn't get to run it, but that's the way it is. And thanks to a lot of my friends, the cesspool and everything, raised almost right at $1,800, James, for the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital here in Memphis. But I'm back. Glad to be back.
So nobody got to run it.
Yeah, no one got to run it. I started to run it anyway. I might do it. I think I'm going to do it Tuesday because I didn't want it. I felt it would be a slap in the face to the St. Jude staff because they deemed the course unsafe, and it was unsafe. You know, I didn't like tree limbs falling on me. I thought it would be a sign of disrespect to them to go against them after they made their statement, not to do it. You know, somebody could always try. There's somebody always trying to sue. You know, they would sue Mother Teresa. They would sue Jesus Christ. You know how that goes. If they fall, they go out there even against advice and slipping on the ice and fall. But I'm going to try to go probably to Nashville and New York, and they're having a St. Jude run there. I don't know. I'm probably not going to be at run as a hero because I'm just going to. It's so much work, and you know, you can only go to the well so many times, y'all. And you know, people only. There's only so many dollars, and I think we've done our part here at the cesspool. We raised right at $1,800, James. Like I told you, I'm so proud of that. And anyway, we'll get back to you right after the break. Hey, we're getting ready to go to a break. And I'd like to chime in on the Republican Party. I think they did their job, what they're supposed to do. I have a different take on that. Stay tuned, folks.
Radio Network.